Amazing Rosh Tainim in Musar about the timing of lighting. There's a major discussion about the timing of lighting. It's a complicated sugya. Misha Tishka Achama. So good. When's that? So that's already machlokas. Does it mean Shkia? Does it mean Seisach Chavim? Good. Now you have to figure out what does Shkia mean? What does Seisach Chavim mean? So it's a very, very, very tough machlokas to understand the exact timing of lighting. But Rosh Tainim, in one of the Svarim, it says that 5 years ago, or 6 years ago, he changed his minhag. He used to light at Shkia, and he changed his minhag. He started lighting 15 minutes after Shkia. So they asked him why. He said he learnt the sugya again, and he was convinced that that's the more correct thing to do, you know, when he learnt the sugya again. Which is pretty remarkable. I mean, the man was, 6 years ago, 98 years old. And he's still thinking, oh, maybe what I did the last 98 years is not l'chachila. Maybe he was still relearning the sugya every year at the age of 98. You know, sometimes people get set in their ways at a very early age. You know, why do you do it this way? Because I'm 25, and for 25 years, this is what I've done. You know, 98, he was still open to doing different things. But the other, you know, the more critical question, because I think nowadays most poskim assume that Ad Shetichla Regel Menashuk goes very, very late into the night. Plus, once Chazal already were misakin to light Pesach Beso, so we're not even so concerned, as concerned as perhaps we used to be with the amount of people that would be able to see it on the outside. So Mustama, we could light very, very late into the night if there's no other option. The bigger issue that a lot of people ask about is you're eating one place, you're sleeping in another place. Where do you light the Neros Chanukah? So it comes up in yeshiva. Right? It comes up in yeshiva. Do you light in those glass boxes outside the dorm rooms? Or do you light in the dining room? Right? It comes up, a lot of times families get together for Chanukah and there's not enough room in one house for everybody to sleep in the same house. So people are going to be sleeping in one place, eating in another place. Or sometimes a young couple will be eating, or even yeshiva guys will be eating dinner here tonight and then going home later. So do you light here? Do you light there? So that's a much more tricky topic without getting into all the details, because it's a very detailed sugya. Me'ikar adin. If you have a makam achil and a makam lina, the makam achil is considered to be the ikar. Shulchan Aruch says makam achil is considered to be the ikar. However, Rav Shechter points out that's only when the makam achil and the makam lina are otherwise equal. Meaning, clearly you're supposed to light in Beso, in your house, in your place. If your makom achila is not yours really, but your makom lina is much more personal to you, it's much more your place, then the makom lina would win. So for example, Shechter thought that boys in yeshiva, that they sleep in their dorm room. How many people sleep in their dorm room? They and their roommate. If they're in yeshiva where there are three roommates, so it's four guys sleep in the dorm room. How many guys eat in the chadar ochel or the dining room? 200 guys eat in the dining room. So that's miyuchad to you. The dining room is much less miyuchad. So clearly it would be the makom lina. Ah, but then it gets tricky. So now we've determined it's the makom lina. But it gets very tricky because, okay, yes, it's the makom lina. Where can you light? Oh, good. So it's just light by the window. Fire hazard. Can't do it. Illegal. You know, they'll throw you out of the dorms. So now what are you supposed to do? Ooh, so most yeshivas have, you can light in the lobby of the building. So many poskim say, perfect. That's the ideal place. Because what's the ideal place to light in Eretz Chanukah? Not by the Pesach HaBayis. By the Pesach HaChatzer. So it used to be that a bunch of batim and a bunch of different houses would open up into a chatzer. You wouldn't light by the doorway of your own house. You would light by the doorway of the chatzer that leads out into the public place. So isn't that exactly what the lobby is? It's a chatzer. So you light by the chatzer, and that before it goes out into the Rosh Hashanah. Perfect. So there are many poskim that assume, yeah, that the lobby of a building is a perfect place. A perfect place to light. However, Rav Shechter, I think, quotes from the Chazon Ish, not that way. That, you know, a chatzer had certain characteristics to it. In the chatzeros, in the times of Chazal, what would they do in the chatzeros? They would do the laundry in the chatzeros. They would do other activities in the chatzer. It was used. It wasn't just a place where you would pass by on your way to get to where you needed to go. It was a place where you would actually hang out and you would do certain things in the chatzer. So that would have a din of a chaser, but the lobby of a dorm, of a dormitory, or the lobby of an apartment building may not have a din of a chaser at all. And therefore it would turn out that that's like lighting the middle of the street somewhere. So you're not really accomplishing anything. Which, okay, so I'm not accomplishing something. Yeah, but then it's a bracha levatal if you say the bracha. So that's why it gets very tricky. So if you have like a private dorm room and each entrance of the dorm room, it's not really a chatzah, there's like a little narrow hallway, I was thinking about this a little bit, there's a little narrow hallway that goes to the downstairs room and the upstairs room, but it's pretty much, you know, each bias is sort of, you know, self-contained. So there are eight guys that sleep in that, you know, four downstairs, four upstairs, let's say, I don't know how it really works, you guys can tell me, but there are eight guys or 12 that sleep in that basic area. So the charas, lighting by that Pesach, is still called the Pesach Habayis. And therefore, l'chora, the Makom Lina would be Iker. I would also understand, and I think Rav Sacks holds this way, that the Makom Achila is better. Because if you don't hold to this whole Torah, that whichever is more miyucha to you, right, and you just go with what it says in Shulchan Aruch, it says that the Makom Achila is the Iker. So you would light in the dining room. Someone asked me, they never ever eat in the dining room. They eat in the dorm room. They don't eat in the dining room. Okay, but yeah, but if someone said he never eats in the dining room, he doesn't plan on eating in the dining room. Even if they give out food, he'll take the food and he'll go back to his dorm room. He's going to eat it there. He doesn't like eating in public. He's he doesn't like eating in the dining room. So can he still light in the dining room? So the answer is, l'chora, no. It's not your makom lina, it's not your makom achila. What? Because that's where the yeshiva lights? So mele, that becomes your bias? It's not your bias. The etzer would be, eat in the dining room. Right, that you should eat there. So those are the possibilities. Now, if you're in a yeshiva, there's one yeshiva, there are many yeshivas probably, that don't have such a setup where you have separate doorways into the dormitory, into each small kvutz of dorm rooms where you can mamish light by the Pesach, that only have the option of lighting by the lobby. And you hold like Rav Shachter that you got to light by Makom Lina, not by Makom Achila, you're not Yotze by Makom Achila because it's not Miyuchat to you. And your Makom Lina has to be by your dorm room and not by the lobby. So then it would turn out that you really can't do the mitzvah. That you're stuck, you can't do the mitzvah. So that's why Rav Shachter tells his Talmidim to go home every night of Hanukkah. What if they live in Chicago? What if they live in, Los Angeles? So that's going to be an expensive Hanukkah to keep commuting back and forth. So then what do? So he says, there are apartments in the Washington Heights area. Find a couple that's willing to host you for the week. That's not easier said than done, I think. Right? Not such a practical, piece of advice. So, and even just going home, I lived in the Five Towns when I was in Yeshiva University. Rav Shach told us to go home every night. I didn't have a car with me, so to take the A train down to Penn Station and then take the, it would be an hour and 45 minutes, easy, each way, to get home. So all the, no way there's going to be night seder. Morning seder is going to be half shot. So I thought that was very hard to do. So I asked him, I said, we're supposed to miss... He said, yeah, for the mitzvah Ner Chanukah, that's what you do, to do the mitzvah Ner Chanukah. So I didn't. There were other rebbeim who said that you can be yotze in the hallway of the dorm. I wasn't completely sumich on that. I thought my parents lighting for me at home on yotze than ikar mitzvah anyway. I would light in the dorm without a bracha. And there were always other people around making brachas. So I listened to someone else's bracha, answered amen, and light over there. So at least I didn't risk the bracha levatala. But it's a very tricky question when you're going one place, another place. So if it's your house, you could always light in your house, regardless of what you happen to be doing there that night. You happen to be going out for dinner. You don't say, "Oh, my house is not my makom achila." No, if it's your house, of course you're allowed. You're allowed to light in your house. A lot of times the issue comes up. For some reason, it's like a lot of people have Hanukkah parties on Sunday. And what's the most popular time to make a Hanukkah party? Whatever is the most inconvenient time for Adlakas Neres Hanukkah. Meaning, whatever will make sure that everyone who's invited to that Hanukkah party will not be able to light Neres Hanukkah Bizman. So the question is, they're calling the Hanukkah party for 4:30 in Manhattan, and you live in the Five Towns, right? So what are you supposed to do? So you know it starts 4:30, but it's going to go, you know, till the distribution of gifts and the singing and whatever, and you know, and then you have to go to the other grandparents also. By the time you get home, it's midnight. So better to light after plag, or better to light at midnight. So mistama, if the whole family is coming home, better to light at midnight, especially since even lighting right before you leave is very b'di'avad. You might be able to light a plag. But even lighting right before you leave could be very dangerous, because people leave, to leave candles unattended, I think, is absolutely forbidden. I don't think you're allowed to leave candles unattended, not in Hilchos Chanukah, but in Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh, Hilchos Kiddush Hashem, aside from the fact that you don't want to lose your house, and you don't want a fire to rage out of control. It's a great Chilul Hashem when the cause of that is a mitzvah. And you know, especially, so you'll say, but I there's foil underneath. So that piece of foil, you never know. You know, I was like shocked into this reality a couple of years ago. I was driving home from Bar Mitzvah on one of the nights of Hanukkah, and I heard on the radio on WCBS that there was a massive house fire in North Woodmere. So I'm like, oh no, massive house fire in North Woodmere. It turns out that it was around the corner from me, and the whole house burnt down. So wow, how irresponsible that the people left the Neros Chanukah unattended. It turned out they had not left the Neros Chanukah unattended. They weren't in the same room as it, and they had moved all the drapes out of the way. They lit by the window, where there's often window treatments, there's often drapes there, so it's obviously flammable. So they moved it all out of the way. They, you know, pushed it up over the bar, and one of the drapes fell down. And that caught fire, the whole house burnt down. Thank God the people got out. But yeah, I have to be very, 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 very careful with lighting Neros Chanukah. It's just a bad idea to leave your Neros Chanukah unattended. So I would say much better to light when you get home, stay up for a half hour, learn a little bit, and then blow them out before you go to sleep. That's what I would recommend at that point. But each shaila is a little bit different, and the matzias is a little bit different. So when you ask a shaila about where to light, given a particular circumstance, try not to ask in vague terms. I'll give you an example. I got a text from someone before. If you'll excuse me for pulling out my phone. Hi, Rebbe. Is it better to light where you eat dinner or sleep if it's two different places? And if you only get the sleeping place pretty late? ? So that's not a real shaila, because I don't know. Is the place that you're sleeping your house? Is the place that you're eating your house? Is it... it depends on the specific situation. So then he asked the shayla. He said, we're going to my in-laws tonight for dinner, a bit later than the Zman, and then going to my parents to sleep. So he's going to one set of parents for dinner, the other one to sleep. Ah, so now we're dealing with a shayla. That's a different. You just have to be careful when you ask the shayla that you know what you're asking. Okay, that's my 2 cents on that.
What do you answer that?
What's the answer on that? So what I told him is, if you're first going to eat dinner after the Zman, and you have a home, and you're still going to be home during the Zman, so light during the Zman at home.
Even if you're not eating or sleeping at that
night. Yeah, but it's your house. You're always allowed to light in your house. Mm-hmm. Even if you go out for dinner, you go out to a restaurant or something, you're always allowed to light in your house.
Where is the two meals, having to eat two meals at that place? Because they hear and they give free breakfast.
Have to have two meals. Meaning that determines that it's Yimakam Achila, because people generally eat two meals a day. They give free breakfast and free dinner throughout Hanukkah? Free breakfast every day, and they add free dinner also during Hanukkah. That's very nice of them. Does it work? Do people now eat there because of that?
Yeah,
money talks. Okay, good. Good, that's a very nice thing. No, it's a very nice thing.
Because you have the light here in the center.
Yeah, so that's a good way to get people to observe the halacha. That seems right. Seems like a good thing. Yeah?
If you never eat upstairs two meals, and then all of a sudden over Hanukkah, you're allowed to eat two meals.
Oh, no, if you're covey yourself, that's where you're eating over Hanukkah. Yeah, so that's what you're eating for Chanukah, so then that becomes your makom achila. Or even for a Shabbos, that's probably good enough that it would become your makom achila.
You just eat dinner then, fine?
Probably should be more than that. Meaning, to really call it your makom achila, it should probably be your your real makom achilu. Rav Shachter had this Torah that the whole din of that in order for it to become your makom, it has to be for all 8 days of Hanukkah. Yeah. It has to become your place. I don't think most people assume that way.
But what if the person doesn't eat breakfast at all?
You just stop, don't eat breakfast.
The person stomp does not eat breakfast.
So that's your makom achilu for whatever you eat. So that's good enough.
Well, a lot of us are going home tonight, let's say,
So here's the tricky thing. Now, if this were your home, right, which it really kind of is, you know, you live here throughout the year, so probably you could light here bizman, and that would be the best thing to do. But considering the number of shilas about whether you're actually yotzei when you light here, you know, is the dining room really a makom achilah that's miyucha to you? Okay, the Rosh Yeshiva Paskin is yes, but I'm saying considering the there's no doubt you could be yotzei the mitzvah at your house. So I would think about it to light when you get home.
Even though it's later, that's not an issue.
Yeah, so even though it's later, it's because everyone passes nowadays that you could light later into the night.
No, I'm not
thinking
until later, I guess. Am I not allowed to eat after the year before I light?
So I think the poskim say you set an alarm. It's like any mitzvah. You're not allowed to eat before performance of any mitzvah. So most of the time we assume that if you set an alarm or something to remind you to light, that would be sufficient. That would be good enough. So that's what I would recommend doing. It's a good kasha. It's a good shayla.
If somebody's flying home and the time to Habakkuk is narrow, less time is like forest lights, we could light in, let's say, the dorms. But if you're flying home and getting home much later to his house, wherever he lives, that night, should he light in the proper time in the place that's not his house? Or should he light at his house, but much later? Like 11 o'clock?
I would think at his house, though. I still think at his house. They. Someone sent me, he was on an LL flight, and they had a lighting of electric candles on the plane. So that, I think, is nothing. That's a zero. I don't think it's your you're eating on the plane, you're sleeping on the plane, you're traveling on the plane, you happen to be eating and sleeping there because it's a long trip, but that's not a makom achilah, it's not a makom lina. I don't think there's any mitzvah. I don't think that's called beso in any sense of the word.
If you want someone else's house for the night,
so this is also Rav Shachter quotes from a Salvechik like this, that he understood very different than many other poskim. Rav Vadia and others understand that when the Gemara says that your mishtatif papriti, that an achsanoi, a guest, can give a few dollars to the host and be yotzei that way, it means you could even do that, but for sure you could light, if they have enough candles, light your own menorah, right? Rav Shachter quotes from a Salvechik not that way. That it was dafka din of mishtatif papriti, that you can't light your own menorah. That the only way you can become a ben abayis is Chazal built this mechanism of giving money for the oil that makes you a ben abayis klapei the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But to just light your own menorah, it's not your bayis, so you're not yotzei anything. That's what Rav Shachter thought. So when my parents or in-laws come, so they and for Shabbos Chanukah, they'll usually just give me a dollar to participate in, instead of lighting themselves. What?
Can they give money and light themselves?
The point is that according to Salvechik, you can't light yourself. The whole mechanism is to participate in paying for the oil in the hadak of the balabai. So there is no lighting yourself. Got it? Same question?
Was on the LL flight, can you light at his home?
Probably. The Gemara says that if a man is traveling and his wife could light, the go base, his wife could light in his house. So that lechor is fine. Rav Avadia Yosef even passes a yeshiva bachur studying in Eretz Yisrael, and his parents, and he's there for the year, and his parents are lighting at home, and he's yotzei with his parents, right? Rav Avadia Yosef passes for Sfardim that.
I haven't lit
since
like
10. Do you by the Sfardim? One second. Isn't it just one menorah?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't light anyway. As a kid, they would let you do it anyway. When it wasn't just like Velcro orange, kind of like it was an actual candles. So time zones get tricky. So that's why I have a Sephardi Talmud who's learning in Shalavim this year, and he asked me, he said his parents are in Israel, they're lighting where they are. So, A, should he light in yeshiva, and B, should his sisters light back home? His sister's in New York. So I said, you should definitely not light in yeshiva, right? Because he has his his parents are alighting, and according to Ravadia, for sure he's Yotze. And the sister, it's very interesting, because what, she's going to be Yotze with the parents lighting before Hanukkah starts? The candles are already going to be up by the time Hanukkah starts for her. So I wasn't sure, I didn't look up what Ravadia says. I said probably they should light without a bracha or something. I don't know, I have to look that up. But time zones can get very tricky when it comes to this kind of thing.
Interesting question. You said Elal wouldn't be Amakom Lina or Amakom Ochel and they couldn't light.
Even business. Class.
How about if you're like on an overnight flight on like an actual first class where it actually is.
See, I knew where you were going with that. That's why I said even business.
Like the resident suite.
You generally wouldn't rent that out as a hotel room. You rent it out as a you pay for the trip because it's taking you somewhere. It's not a hotel.
Even though the resident suite's like 20,000.
Okay, so maybe something like that. I don't know that many people that do that, and I'm from the Five Towns, but maybe something like that would be different.
It's really cool to see.
I'm sure. I'm sure it is.
It comes with your own shower.
I'm sure it is.
Your own private bedroom with your own full length bed.
Yeah, yeah.
And then your own personal butler and your own personal scene.
That would be very nice. I think everyone should fly like that. I mean, after flying back from Israel for 12 hours in sardine class in El Al, I have to tell you, it was with everyone's germs all over, like not so bad. I got to see how the other side lives when I was walking around the plane on the way to Israel. So first of all, big yasher koach to this generation of Jews. At least I saw a major change when I was going to Israel. I looked around the plane at the time that the sun was rising outside, at the time that it was time for Shachris, and I saw a lot of people just davening in their seats quietly. No minyan was attempted in the back of the plane, and people were davening in the right zman. They weren't even waiting till mincha time, when normally people start putting on their tefillin and making the Shachris minyan that wakes everyone up. Because so put off by the zman, because time is moving fast when you're traveling. Right, you get the 7-hour difference. So that was very, very impressive. But then came mincha time, the whole plane was up, everyone was walking around already, because by then everyone's restless. It was already the last 2 hours of the flight or so, and by the time we landed, it was going to be too late to daven mincha. So I was walking around the plane, like everybody else, and the one of the guys in business class stuck his head out, and he said, "We need one more." Okay, so I came in, and I got to see how the other side lives. Not so bad, but still, I wouldn't think in a regular business class, I don't think that would be called a
makom.
I understand, yes, Israel, yeah.
It's good that they didn't go for
a
minyan on the plane.
Yeah, minyanim on the plane are, first of all, achil Hashem. Second of all, it's not a minyan. Third, you're probably saying various brachas levatala. It's probably an issur to recite brachas right next to the bathrooms like that. Many reasons why you shouldn't have a minyan on a plane. Oh, we're not going to bother anybody except for the 20 people we have to climb on and trample on to get there and block the bathrooms when people need to. Not a good idea.
But you're preventing them from hearing the movie.
And other more important things too. Yeah.
Why is it not a minyan?
What?
Why is it not a minyan?
Why is it not a minyan? Because in my experience, the sound of the engine is so loud that 10 people do not hear the chazan.
What if the El Al made like a designated spot on the plane, like in front of the plane or whatever?
Different story. If you're God willing, when each of you do a nefesh b'nefesh flight to make aliyah, you will discover that davening on the plane is not a problem in that plane, because the whole trip is one big chavaya. Everyone's singing and dancing the whole time. Everyone's like, no one is sleeping on that plane when you're making aliyah. So that's my chavrusa told me. When he went on the nefesh b'nefesh trip, he was comfortable davening with a minyan, because that was like... Yeah, nefesh b'nefesh takes over the whole plane, usually. I mean, sometimes not, but... that's a good question. So when they do that, the whole thing is one big chavaya. So that I think you could have in the minyan on the plane. But otherwise not so. It's interesting. Shaila, a person had a trip to Eretz Yisrael, and he wasn't going to be able to light Neros Chanukah, and he was leaving no one at home. So what should he do? Is he mechuyev to change his ticket? So I just had a chasna on Sunday. Yeah, then I got back. I was at a chasna. Rabbi Eli Belzon came over to me, and he said that someone told me that you paskin that they should take that they're allowed to take that trip and whatever, and the onus rachmanu patrei. So So I don't remember ever paskening that. He said the Chora, his brother Avram is in Boka. So Eli Ravelli is a Rebbe in Yeshiva University. His brother is a surgeon. He's a doctor, very chashviyid. Their father, Zichron Levracha, is very chashviyid also. But that's a different story. But he said the Chora, you should have to pay whatever it takes to change your tickets. Why whatever it takes? No, you shouldn't have to spend more than 20% of your money for a mitzvah, say, but someone said, for a mitzvah presuminisa, afilu mocha ksusa, for a mitzvah presuminisa, you sell whatever. So if you're not going to be able to make the mitzvah that night, so if you're going to rely that it is your makamai, you can light a flashlight on the plane. I think Rav Baruch Simon told someone, light a flashlight on the plane. I don't believe that. I don't believe that the plane is considered your makam anything. It's your travel vehicle. It's like lighting in your car. I don't think you don't live in your car just because you're taking a long drive. If it's an RV, maybe it's a different story.
If he goes super early to the airport, he kovea tusu udos and then lighten the airport with the flashlight.
Nah, because you're not sleeping in the airport either. If you're, Tom Hanks in that movie, right? What was that movie where he lived in the airport for something? Yeah, so then, he could find some place, some broom closet to light in.
Hotels then would be the same issue as the dorm, because, meaning, it's not, you can't light a hotel room,
Yeah, so I was asked about that also. The woman emailed me the other day that she's going to a hotel for Shabbos. She and her husband are going to a hotel for Shabbos, and they're eating by the Chabad house. They're eating by the Chabad place in that. So the hotel room is absolutely, they're not going to allow you to light candles. So I once asked, a Talmud of mine once told me he was in a hotel in Hanukkah, and in the hotel gift shop they sold scented candles. Hotel gift shop, because they allowed that in the room, a scented candle, whatever, just ambiance. No, you only have to nourish base, so you only have to light one. It's so terrible buying a scented candle. No, his whole shayla was, is it called the Yisr of getting Hanah from the Neros, because he's going to enjoy the smell of the candle? I don't think that's called the Yisr of getting Hanah from the Neros.
He's not getting
Yeah, that's right. So if that hotel allows, so I guess some hotels allow you to light a scented candle in the room. So if they let you do that, so great, then do that. Otherwise, maybe you have to be somech. Again, Rav Shachter, I don't know what he would say, but probably would not allow them to light in the Chabad house where they're eating. But Rav Sachs probably would say yes. So I thought that there's what to rely on to light in the place where they're eating. They're not eating with 1,000 people. A few people. It's not as miyuchad as their hotel room, because their hotel room is just the two of them. Chabad house is the Chabad family that's hosting them also, and maybe a couple of other couples that might be traveling, but still pretty small group. So I thought that was okay, but yeah.
I'd say in Israel, let's say we're allowed to eat in the hotel itself, but the venue is like a lot of people traveling there.
Yeah, better to be in your room. Better to be in your room if you can. If you can't, what can you do? I don't know. Probably make her a din, yes, but we don't do that. It's a light electric bulbs. Gets very, seems so conservative, I don't know. It is an ash. The oldest is a din of an ash. Yeah. There are poskim that say that, even an incandescent bulb is problematic because it has to be dumyo de menorah. And the menorah had a fuel source that was all present at the time that you lighted. It wasn't a constantly feeding fuel from the outside, whereas electric, you plug something into the wall, so the electricity is not all present at the time that's going to power it for the entire Zman. So that's what some people say, battery power with an incandescent bulb maybe is your best.
Makhon Somer makes one? I mean, for Shabbos candles.
For Shabbos, same idea. All right.
Well, why is that any different than, eight candles lined up and one thing with oil? It's all using the same oil source.
Because the oil source is there. It's already there.
But it's not different.
It's not miyucha, it's a different candle, but it's all there already. That's the difference. So it's there. It's present. I did want to discuss a little bit about maybe these public lightings. Like what's the, not just the Chabad. Let's say you have no connection to Chabad, so you're not going to go to Central Park tonight or whenever night. and light the menorah. You're not with Amari Stoudemire, Madison Square Garden, or whatever. You're not going to be doing that with all the holy Jews and people who think they're Jews. You're not going to. I'm not talking about Chabad. I was Amari. Amari thinks he's a Jew. The Chabadniks are the holy Jews. Just no one should misquote me. Okay. So you're not going to do. I have a story with Amari Stoudemire. So it relates to Chabad also. At the Chabad Kiddush Shluchim I was at this year, Yami Schachter spoke. Who's Yami Schachter? No one knows who Yami Schachter is? Any Torontonians here? Yami Schachter is Rav Schachter's son. He's like the Leibedik son, you know? He's a very interesting, he's a very funny guy. He like knows everybody. He like hangs out with Jay-Z. Unclear how he knows everybody or exactly what he does, but you know, he's one of these guys that knows everybody. So Rav Shai told me he was once in the airport flying to Israel, and in front of him was a giant African-American man. Online in front of him, like the most giant African American man he's ever seen in his entire life, and his wife and kids. Not Shai's wife and kids, this man's wife and kids. And the wife starts striking up a conversation with him, and she's saying, you know, we love to go to Israel, and you know, my husband thinks he's Jewish or he's a Hebrew or something. You know, she starts telling him this whole thing, and he says, and she says, oh, you know, you must know who my husband is, Amari Stoudemire. And like Rav Shai, he had no idea. He never heard of Amari Stoudemire. He's like, I'm sure that's very nice. I'm sure, you know, he probably, whatever, he's a nice man. So Rav Shai said, I'm just curious, like, how did you get connected to Israel? Oh, we have a really good friend who connected us, who really connected us to the land of Israel and got us our first tickets or whatever to go, or arranged for our first trip and everything that happened there. So his name is Israel Schachter. So I was like, yummy. How does he get to Amari Stoudemire? But not only if you're lighting in Madison Square Garden with Amari Stoudemire, not only if you're lighting with Chabad. I'm going to a Chasna Be'ezras Hashem on Sunday. I remember one of my close Chaverim got married on Chanukah, and you know what they did at the wedding? They made a klap, you know, everyone, we're going to light the Neros Chanukah now. And at the wedding, they made a big public ceremony of lighting Neros Chanukah. No one was sleeping over at the wedding that night. There were people eating there in that very public setting. But everyone there, Mistama, had their mitzvah to light at their home, not at the wedding. And yet they did this public asifa. You know, Chanukah parties, sometimes they'll do like that. That there's going to be a big public lighting for everybody, even if, whatever, even if you're not being mekayim the mitzvah with that lighting. So is there anything to do that? Is there any kiyum? Is there any basis for that? With the bracha, they do it. They do it. Chabad makes a bracha when they do it in the park, right? So is there any basis for that whatsoever? It's not discussed in early poskim, which leads you to believe that there's no basis for it, meaning that this was not something that was done. The mitzvah is nerush beso, it has to do with the bias, and you can't just stomp. Yeah, there's an idiot of presuminisa. When you're doing nerush beso, do it in an ofen that is mefarsim the nes. But to do only a presuminisa? Well, so when they light up the Empire State Building in blue and white, it's a key mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, because there's a presuminisa? It's not a nerush beso, it's no one's. So where does this come from? So what most of those who defend the minhag suggest is that it must be based in the minhag of lighting in shul. In your shuls, I would imagine in every single one of your shuls, when they light between mincha mariv every night of Chanukah, do they recite a bracha? Yes, they'll often sing on Eros HaLevav also, unless they're really in a rush, but they'll recite a bracha. So who's being miyotze the mitzvah when they're lighting in shul? Ooh, so if you're allowed to light in shul, apparently because of persuminisa, so mela, you're allowed to light in any venue because of persuminisa. That's the suggestion. So in order to analyze whether that's a fair suggestion or not, you got to really look carefully at this minhag of lighting in shuls, because that there's a lot of literature on already from the times of the Rishonim. Where does that come from? That they can light in shul with the bracha, and does that translate over to Chanukah parties and weddings and parks and you know, on top of your car with them, you know, does that translate over properly? So there are, to my knowledge, five different explanations of why it is that we light Ner Chanukah in shul. So let's see if each one works when it comes to explaining why we would light in a public place. The Rivash in Siman Kuf Yud Aleph writes that we light in shul to fulfill Pursum Enisa, during Shas HaSakana. That's specifically during the Shas HaSakana, when we couldn't light anywhere else, at least in our shuls we were safe, so we were able to light in Erev Chanukah, so they made a special takana of lighting in a shul for Pirsumei Nisa. It makes it a strong minhag, and a strong minhag you can recite a bracha on. It's a question whether you can ever recite a bracha on a minhag. What kinds of minhagim get a bracha? For example, we Ashkenazim recite a bracha on Halal and Rosh Chodesh. Halal and Rosh Chodesh is clearly only a minhag. Svardim, no bracha on Halal and Rosh Chodesh. Right? They won't say a bracha on a minhag. But for some reason, this minhag is a stronger kind of minhag. But still, we don't have a Shas HaSakana anymore. Now, Baruch Hashem, we're able to light. We're able to light in our homes. We're able to light by our windows. If we wanted to light outside the door, we'd be allowed to do that. So why do we still light in shuls? So Rav Sturmbach actually lights without a bracha in the shul. In his shul, they don't say a bracha because he thinks it changed. Now, once it's not a Shas HaSakana, so that this particular takana, miyuchedes, of Pirsumei Nisa in the shul, no longer applies, but the minhag is that we do it with the bracha, because minhag of Aseh B'Yadeinu. The initial takana was because of Shas HaSakana, and they did it with the bracha, so we do it with the bracha as well. So it's not a bracha on the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, it's a bracha on the minhag. It's a bracha on the minhag, but it's a strong minhag. So you're allowed to say a bracha on such a strong minhag. With this justify lighting in the park and in the on top of your car and in the wedding halls, and would this justify that? Lechora not, right? Because Adrab is the exact opposite, right? Meaning the whole idea was that it was Dafka B'Shas HaSakana, where it had to be top secret, where you couldn't do it at all publicly. So to say, oh, and therefore I'm going to say that same bracha to fulfill that minhag by lighting in a park, very, very hard to say that. Right, because you're doing it publicly, Adrab, you're doing it the most public way. A second explanation of why we light in the shul, Beis Yosef quotes from the Kolbo, says that it's to be yotzei the guests. Why does that make any sense? Where do we have that idea? Kiddush in the Beis HaKnesses is the Gemara in the 10th Parak of Pesachim, is to be motzi the Orchim. How is it motzi the Orchim? The Orchim are going to stay in the hotel. No, used to. And lots of people sleep in Central Park. Okay, good. So we're motzi the people who would stay in the shul, who would sleep in the shul. Meaning there were actually people who ate and slept in the shul, not lav dafka in the actual Beis HaKnesses itself, but in the building. And therefore that hadlaka is motzi them. What about nowadays? L'chora doesn't apply. So in Tshuvas Peradar, Simukov Memches, the Rambam writes that we don't change the takana even if the reason no longer applies. So even though that doesn't apply anymore in shul, we still do it in shul even though there are no more orchim staying in shul. You know, similar to Chazar Sashatz. We still say Chazar Sashatz, even though the initial takana of Chazar Sashatz was to be motzi people who didn't have a siddur, didn't know how to read, didn't know how to say the Shemoneh Esrei. Nowadays, everyone who comes to a typical Orthodox shul is able to say the Shemoneh Esrei themselves, and yet we still say Chazar Shatz. Granted, the Rambam discontinued Chazar Shatz, but most people assume that we still say Chazar Shatz. In fact, Kiddush Beis HaKnesses. How many of your shuls say Kiddush in shul? A few of them, right? Many. So many have a minhag of Kiddush and Shul. There's no one sleeping in the Shul. Why do you do it? That's the minhag. The minhag was, so you do it. Although the Torah quotes from Gaonim that a Shul that starts shouldn't start with that minhag. But many Shuls do start with that minhag, even Bizmanenu, and they continue that minhag. Would this apply to lighting in a park, this idea of being motzi orchim midei chavasam? So Dovi's point, notwithstanding of the people who sleep in Central Park, for the most part, when they're doing this, there's no one that's sleeping over there, that you're being motzi in the mitzvah. So that luchara doesn't translate over so well to these cases of public lightings. A third possibility, why do we light in the shul? The Kolbo writes, it's practice. Practice? Practice. So, what does that mean? May Alan Arvison reference? You got it? Okay. I was waiting to see who would get it. Okay. So it's practice for what? So the Kolbo says, it goes from the Kolbo, for saying the brachos. These brachas are so complicated. You know, lahadik ner shel Chanukah, lahadik ner Chanukah, shas anisim, three brachas, two brachas. When do I practice saying the brachas? That's why we light in shul, to become fluent in the brachas, right? So it's a very shver avart. You know, it's the kolbo. There is such an idea. What else do we? The shliach tzibur says the silent shmon esrei before saying chazar sashatz. Practice. So he'll be fluent. He'll be fluent in the Shemon Esrei. But there are a lot of problems with this. First of all, why would we light in shul on any night after the first night? You already got your practice the previous night, right? Second of all, why is it good enough to have one person practice? Shouldn't the whole shul practice? Right? Everyone should say the brachas. Everyone needs to get used to the brachas. And also, since when do we need practice for Birchas HaMitzvah? You know, do you sit there Erev Pesach, you know, with plastic matzah and mar in front of you, practicing? You're not going to eat it, Chas Shalom, because it's not time for the mitzvah yet. But just to practice, saying the bracha. How hard is it to do Birchas HaMitzvah? You know, we don't practice Birchas HaMitzvah. We don't practice Al Nitzil Zulav. So to practice a bracha, it seems a little bit strange. Now, if that's the reason, it may apply to public places also. Wherever you can get your practice, get your practice. So if you get it in a public place, get it in shul, wherever it might be. Okay, but to assume that that's really the reason is a little bit of a stretch. What did you want to say? What about tefillin? Ah, so by tefillin, it's not so much the practice for the bracha. You're practicing the mitzvah, because the tefillin are hard. But, you know, you always see like that kid who's like... 2 weeks removed from his bar mitzvah, and he's wearing his tefillin shorosh with the plastic covering on the, you know, he's still getting used to it. It takes some time to get used to the whole putting on tefillin. There is one shita. Someone just forwarded me a conversation that happened online somewhere in some forum or another, some Facebook whatever, that Rabbi Willig's son-in-law, I think Shoshan. Said in the name of his father-in-law, he said, my father-in-law said that the reason people put on tefillin 30 days before the bar mitzvah is that sometimes a bar mitzvah boy has bar mitzvah in a leap year, and it's very confusing when exactly his real bar mitzvah is. Is it Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? So for him, he puts it on Adar Rishon just in case, 30 days before his real bar mitzvah. And as a little plug, no matter what your bar mitzvah is, you always put it on 30 days before. And that's what he said. So I said, I told the guy, Mistama, Rav Willig has been reading Hakona Olamo, because that is the quote from, I believe I quoted it from Rav Sturmbach in Hakona Olamo, about bar mitzvah boy putting on tefillin before his bar mitzvah. There's a fourth possibility that for those who don't know or care to fulfill the mitzvah, I'm not going to be doing the mitzvah, Mistama, this is what Chabad has in mind. I mean, if you're lighting in shul for people who just, what am I going to buy a menorah for? I don't need it. You know, not so religious. Yet somehow attending Mincha Maariv services, you know, in shul. Not so religious that I'm going to light a menorah. But you'll have a lot more of that in Central Park than you will in your shul between Mincha Maariv. It is somewhat unusual that we'd be so concerned about these people, dafka by Chanukah, more so than any other mitzvah. But that would probably be where the Chabad lighting is gains its greatest support. That is in the Kolbo and the Sefer HaManik give that reason. And we'll just close. The final reason the Kolbo says the Zecher LaAdlaka BeBeis HaMikdash, that we light menorah in shul, and that's the pashtus of why we light in shul. That it's a Zecher to the Adlaka BeBeis HaMikdash, and that explains why we typically light it in the south. Because the menorah is bedarom, because the menorah represents chachma, the menorah is bedarom. So that would explain why we light it in the south. And there's clearly this element of zecher, the mikdash, of the menorah of the mikdash. That clearly would not apply in Central Park, right? That's dafkin, a mikdash ma'at, where we're going to do something as a zecher to the mikdash. If they ask you, they honor you to recite the bracha in shul, you can do it, because that's our minhag. In Central Park, if you're a Chabadnik, you can do it, because that's what the Rebbe paskined. But otherwise, if you're not a follower of the Rebbe who paskins that way, I think most other poskim would respectfully disagree and would say that better not to say the bracha when lighting in a public place otherwise. Okay, Freilich Chanukah, everybody. So I guess I'll see everybody Monday. Enjoy your off Shabbos and weekend and whatever. Everyone, please go on the Google form.